The first time I talked to Burt Randolph Sugar, I was about to be fired. You see, when you're a producer, you're basically an offensive lineman. If people know who you are, it probably means you just screwed up. And in my first week as the producer of Primetime Sports, sadly, people knew who I was. Some confirmed guests, they decided not to pick up. Others, for some reason, decided to drive through the Ozarks just in time to get the worst possible cell phone signal. Dentist appointments magically appeared, and school plays weren't circled on their calendars until about 5 minutes before their scheduled interview with Bob. It was as though fate was telling me this was not the job for me. With a glaring hole in my lineup and zero ideas left in my mind, and about 10 minutes before McCowan would walk in and figure out what I put together for the day, a boxing story crossed the wire. And without even reading the whole story, I looked at my sad little Rolodex at the time, and I called Burt at home. As it was ringing, I was praying that A, he'd pick up, and B, he'd agree to join us and save my ass, and C, that he wasn't a complete jerk. What I was greeted with was a bourbon-soaked voice on the other end of the phone. I instantly envisioned him in a room with, like, rich and mahogany, pugilistic artifacts on the walls, and ash stains on the carpet, a single string of smoke dancing from his stogie, and the man I grew up watching and talking about this sport that I loved, sitting back in his office chair. I stumbled to introduce myself and asked if I could steal some of his time to join McCowan and Stephen Brunt. Without even waiting for an appropriate pause, Bert said, "Steal some time. I don't have enough of it left to steal. I'd rather you steal my wallet." He agreed to join us, and I remember him saying, 6:30, Ryan, I'll be there for you." I was grinning like an idiot. The fact that the man that I considered the narrator for an entire sport would be there for me, well, that just blew my mind. 30 seconds later, McCowan asked who we had, and when I told him Burt was on, Bob cracked a smile. Didn't even ask why he was on. He just knew it would be entertaining. Through the years, I searched for boxing stories, no matter how small or uninteresting. I just wanted an excuse to call him, just to hear his voice, and he'd always make me laugh. When he would send me his latest book, I'd feel so honored that I could tell him how much I enjoyed it. He was a part of an era that I'm too young to fully understand, when the heavyweight championship of the world was the greatest title in the world of athletics. He watched prospects bloom into heroes and villains soak up the spotlight. As the sport kind of faded from the sporting horizon, Burt was still there, just to remind us, just a little bit, why this sport still mattered. The sport would never die because the Methuselah of the sweet science was there to tell the story. People ask why Primetime Sports is so successful, and I always answer it the same way. It's because we have characters, and we've developed those characters over time. And listeners and viewers, they're in on the joke. Hell, we even made Gary Bettman into a character. He hasn't been on the show for almost 5 years. They all have roles in our elaborate play, some larger than others, but every last one that we allow into our little world, it just holds so much weight. And it's what makes this show so special. And Burt Randolph Sugar is a character whose lines can't be used by anyone else. No understudy. Nobody else can wear the costume of the man in the fedora. The entire staff of Primetime Sports, its characters and listeners, they're going to miss you, Burt. And even though you are one of the only people I can honestly describe as larger than life, thank you from all of us for always being there.